It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is the CEO of RanchBot, Andrew Coppin. But first, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey on cotton planting.
In a lot of years, we only see planting progress this early in a couple of states, and Arizona is one of those. They lead the nation, 19% of the cotton acreage planted. Five-year average is 15%. And then Texas is the other that typically plants some, mainly in the deep south this time of year and in the coastal areas. 8% of Texas cotton acreage is planted by April 5th. That is right on par with the five-year average of 8%. Now this year, because it has been warm and dry in California for the most part, we see some early planting there. 10% of the California cotton planted by April 5th. That's ahead of the five-year average of 4%. We actually see 1% planted already in Tennessee. That is unusual to see any cotton planting this early in the year in that part of the Mississippi Delta.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we have Andrew Coppin. Andrew is CEO of RanchBot. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tony. Good to be here.
Well, first off, before we get into who RanchBot is, tell us a little about you and your journey to where you are today and to RanchBot. Kind of lay it out for us. Who is Andrew?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm an Aussie living in Texas and, you know, grew up in and around farming and ranching in Australia as a teenager and spent a lot of time driving around checking water and things across the ranch that 95% of the time didn't need checking. Of course, I didn't know that 30 years later I'd start a company that would help ranchers the world over sort of better utilize their time with remote monitoring and control of ranches. And we now look after about 5,000 ranches and over 12,000 customers across Australia and the United States, sort of helping them run their water and their infrastructure on their ranches. So, and now based out of Fort Worth here in Texas.
Well, let's dig in a little deeper on the RanchBot. I know you've kind of touched on that, but who is RanchBot and specifically, what are you doing?
Well, you know, every day, you know, hundreds of thousands of ranchers drive around checking water and pumps and wells on ranches because they have to. It's not an optional thing as to whether or not your cattle and your livestock have got water or not. You have to know. And so we created a technology that would hook all of those that water infrastructure into the internet using satellite sensors that would tell the rancher there was water availability, pick up leaks, tell them if the pump's on or off, even allow them to turn the pump on and off remotely without them even having to go there. And so we're saving ranchers, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in their operations. And more importantly, giving them time and peace of mind to know what's happening in the back pasture without having to go there.
Well, and you mentioned being in Texas in the Fort Worth area. Over 80% of the state right now is in drought conditions. And we're also dealing with the tightest herd we've really seen, I would imagine, in recorded history here.
Yes, sir.
That presents some unique challenges, does it not?
Yes. Well, I mean, we've got the perfect storm of, you know, really high demand for exceptional beef that the U.S. ranchers produce. You know, we've started a frenzy in red meat protein, so demand for our product is high at a time when our product availability is low, and that's predominantly after we've been dealing with sort of 6 or 7 years of drought across most of the rangelands of America. And as you point out, Texas now at the end of winter is looking very dry, and across all of the rangelands in the U.S., sort of 60 to 70% of the rangelands are in the early phases of drought again. So a rancher's decision as to whether or not they're going to retain heifers and grow out their herd is heavily driven by the availability of grass and water being the two key inputs. And if you're looking at a drought, your option to hold cattle and continue to build out your herd is limited. Add to that, we've got increased fuel and gas costs at the moment, And you know, it's a tough decision for a rancher to make. Am I going to take the risk? If I don't have grass, I'm going to have to bring in seed. You know, that's going to be more expensive. Transport's going to be expensive. So, you know, the economics of ranching are challenging at the best of times.
We're talking with Andrew Coppin, CEO of RanchBot. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest, Andrew Coppin, CEO of RanchBot. All right, Andrew, we've been watching the price of diesel just really skyrocket, over 110% gains year over year in the past month, up nearly 25%. And what's happening in the Middle East, does that trickle all the way down and affect ag?
Yeah, well, I mean, increasing oil prices, you know, which are sitting at, you know, $114 a barrel today, you know, is a tax on everyone. I mean, not a lot happens in the world without something moving from A to B, and ranching is no different. In fact, ranching is very, very heavily dependent upon transport, moving cattle from the market to the ranch, moving cattle from the ranch to the market, driving around in the F-250 or the Dodge Ram, checking water, checking fences, checking cattle. You know, the expense line in any rancher's P&L for fuel and wear and tear on vehicles is very significant. So when we see an increase in price of, you know, 30 or 40% over a couple of months, you know, ranchers can't stop doing those jobs, you know, necessarily, unless they think differently about how they're doing it. And that's sort of where RanchBot can step in and keep those fuel costs down by 30 or 40% and effectively offset the fuel price increase. Of our 12,000 plus customers, we hear readily that we do save them tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in fuel costs. So I think there's never been a better time for ranchers to reassess, hang on, if I can't negate the gas price increase, what can I do to keep the cost lower?
So, Andrew, I'm kind of thinking here as well, because when you start moving to the west of Fort Worth, the further west you go, the less populated it becomes. You get out into West Texas, and we have more livestock than we actually have people, which
yes.
Means, well, we also have less internet capabilities out there. It's the digital divide, if you will. Does that also present challenges? How does RanchBot tie everything in together, especially when we've got some limited internet in places?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, given we sort of test drove RanchBot in Australia before we moved the manufacturing and the head office of the company to Texas. Australia is a pretty big place too, and sort of familiar with remote areas, as is West Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and, you know, many other places across, you know, the United States. So we took a satellite first view of technology and said all our devices should be able to connect directly to satellite so that cellular coverage and internet access is not an issue. And so of the 40,000 plus devices we've got out in the field today, they're all talking directly to satellites, telling ranchers to their cell phone, you know, if they've got a leak, if the pump is on or off, You know, and a variety of other things, you know, about weather, rainfall, you know, et cetera. So they don't need to go there and they can know in real time via satellite what's happening. So that's how we conquered the technology, challenge of internet connectivity in remote areas.
Yeah, great points there. So I've got two final questions here for you, and one will be looking at what's coming down the road, what you're most excited about in your industry, if you will. But I want to start first with the challenge. What's the biggest challenge you see ahead for the entire ag industry, if you will, and just the fact that you can even see it from a global perspective as well? What's the biggest challenge?
Well, I really do think that we as a race, we're underestimating the criticality of water supply and its impact across all industry and our lives. I mean, we're coming from a pretense that, you know, isn't water free? Doesn't it come from under the ground or doesn't it fall from the sky? But yet we've got a finite amount of water on the planet and we're growing, you know, urban sprawl, data centers, population growth, you know, more and more subdivisions and property development, and the demands on our water supply are becoming intense. If we don't start managing that well and collectively well, you know, we all want to eat and we all want to have milk and we all want to have a nice house and maybe a well and, you know, grow a few cows. There's nothing wrong with any of those needs, but they're all going to need to harmonize to better use our available resources. And water is the key input that is really probably the most poorly managed asset on the earth. So we really need to prioritize water and water infrastructure across our cities and our ranching lands. If we're going to be able to sustain the planet in the manner in which we're accustomed. That's the biggest concern for me.
And then, yeah, and then the second part there, what are you most excited about? Maybe it's something that's happening right now. Maybe it's a moonshot, if you will. But what are you most excited about?
I think I've spent the last, you know, 12 years of my life doing nothing other than technology for ranching. It's come a long way over that period, but I think what I'm most excited about is there's now a group of companies that are global companies that are all working together to try and solve the big challenges for ranching. I've never met a rancher that wants seven apps to run the show. They'd much prefer that the technologies were harmonizing and collaborating and working well together. And there's now a group of companies that are really working hard to deliver those results for ranching, which will ultimately mean, you know, creating an ecosystem around technology for ranching. I mean, it's a critical sector for our planet. It needs to continue to innovate and, you know, the adoption of new technologies to get more efficient, more productive, more sustainable and resilient outcomes in a weather volatile world are essential. So I'm really excited about where that's at and what the next 2 to 3 years holds in that regard.
We're talking with Andrew Koppen of RanchBot. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Andrew Koppen, CEO of RanchBot. Hey, Andrew, where do we find you?
Yeah, you can find out more information about RanchBot and get in touch with our team at www.ranch-bot.com.
Andrew Koppen, CEO of RanchBot. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA.
We see numbers near 50% very poor to poor for several states across the Great Plains, led by Oklahoma at 54% very poor to poor. Condition on April 5th, 51% very poor to poor in Texas, 49% in Colorado, and 43% in Nebraska. Those are the four hardest hit or drought-affected states at this point. Kansas has been in a little bit of an oasis, drier to the north, drier to the south, but even there, during a rather dry March, we did see conditions declining. So Kansas, 62% of that crop was rated good to excellent. In the final report last fall, as of April 5th, that number in Kansas has fallen all the way down to 38% good to excellent. Since this report was taken, we have seen some moisture improving across parts of the eastern plains. The lower Midwest is actually looking pretty good, with good to excellent numbers ranging from 58% in Michigan all the way up to 72% in Illinois.
It's the Agribusiness Report.